Item number three is a subdivision and rezoning for 281 Henderson Highway under file DASZ 24 of 2010.
Okay, thank you. Okay, the applicant, Greg Graywall. Mr. Graywall. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome Hi. Back. State your name and address again for the record, Mr. Graywall. And
it's Greg Graywall, 64 Raphael.
Hi. Go ahead.
Well, so we've held the open house and gave out information to the public. It seems quite a bit of congregation here that doesn't want me to move forward with my plan, but I mean the surplus land was tendered and we have a bid on it and we'd like to rezone it to a different zone.
Okay. Was there anything else you wanted to add or no? That was basically it.
Yeah.
All right. Any questions at this point of the applicant?
Oh, yeah. You held a community information meeting?
Yes, we held it here.
And were the details of the proposed development shown to the residents who attended?
Right. The conceptual drawings that we had made up were displayed to the residents.
And was there feedback from the residents taken into consideration in regards to your proposal?
Yeah, we'd be open to feedback if that's what's required, but we certainly disclose what we want to do and move forward with our plan.
And how did you advertise the meeting?
It was in the article that was in the Metro.
And did you post anything on the development, like on Calvin's site there?
I believe no. It was posted in the on the website here at the Bronx.
Any other questions? No other questions. You'll have an opportunity to appear again, Mr. Grillo.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Also registered in support is Burjinder Singh Tind. Registered in support. Do you wish to speak, sir, or just registered in support?
No, registered in support.
Okay. Thank you very much. And also registered in support is Manny Dhaliwal. Do you wish to speak, sir?
No, sir.
Just registered in support. Okay. Thank you very much. Anybody else registered in support here tonight who did not fill out a form? Anybody else registered in support? Seeing none, I'm going to move on to those who are registered in opposition and then move on to those registered for information. Registered in opposition, and I want to just preface before we start the delegations again, everybody will be allowed up to 10 minutes to speak. If you don't use the entire 10 minutes, that's fine. I just want to also say that while you're somebody speaking, if you can, you know, respect that person while they're speaking, whether you agree with them or not. As well, if you've heard something already said and you were thinking of speaking, you heard something that said, you don't necessarily have to come up and speak. You can just indicate that you're registered in opposition or for information. So having said that, first delegation is Shanine Robinson. Is Ms. Robinson in the room? Hi, could you state your name and address, Ms. Robinson?
Shanine Robinson, 191 Roach Street, apartment 304. Thank you for allowing me to speak this evening. I'm here speaking on behalf of the youth and seniors in this area. I've lived in Elmwood, East Kildonan my entire life, and seeing Kelvin being an area where young people and people of my generation and further older have used this place as a means to have a better lifestyle. And I'm really worried for the young people in this area. I live down the street from 7-Eleven on Henderson, and there's a lot of young folks who are getting into a lot of trouble. We know this firsthand, that since the loss of Kelvin, whether we've seen in the newspapers or through the media, that there has been an increase in crime rates. We see that firsthand. I work with along with some of the young folks at the Elmwood Community Resource Center. And this is something that they say is happening right now at this very minute. Obviously, with the loss the other day, the dreadful loss of our East Elmwood Community Center, where you know, I participated when I was young as well. We're losing these areas. We have a risk of losing, obviously, the Youth for Christ area as well. So whether it's a community center or just an area for our young folks, I really think that as leadership, it is your responsibility as well as ours as a community to step up and provide some opportunities for our young people. I mean, in 10, 15 years, what's Elmwood going to be? Is it going to be an area that we, where we, you know, upkeep our neighborhoods? And yeah, the Bronx is beautiful, but you know, our young people, I know firsthand the low-income kids that live behind me in the low-income developments, their parents certainly cannot afford for them to take a bus even or to ride. They might not even have a bike or to walk here when it's minus 40 weather. And when we're, you know, firsthand, our young people are having no after-school programming, where we have one of our community clubs that the hours are ridiculous, and that our young people aren't even allowed into the community clubs because there's fear of vandalism or things like that. We need to be opening our centers to our children and maybe involve them, youth for youth. I mean, we can see the success rates of things like Streets of Femme, where it's young people who are running a youth station. Why aren't we not honoring our young people and providing them opportunities to succeed? So I think that, you know, Councillor Steen, you yourself know the struggles of being a young person, what recreation does to enhance young people's lives and programming. I mean, not every kid wants to play hockey. Not every kid wants to play football. There are artists and young people who might not have the best lifestyles at home as well. I now work at a place called CETA, Pathways to Education, where I'm working with inner city young people, seeing firsthand them coming from homes not as lucky as myself, and I'm sure yourselves, to have parents at home. Some of them are in foster care. Some of them don't know who their families are. These are kids who are facing issues like gangs and suicide and addiction every day. What are we as a community going to do, and what are you as leadership going to do to enhance and ensure that these young people are hardworking Winnipeggers in 10, 15 years down the road, so that they have the opportunities to go to university and go to school and be involved with activities in the community? So we know, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to know that that community centers or community initiatives are at the heart of any successful community, right? So we need to know that. We need to look at places like Selkirk and Salter, where we're seeing community initiatives enhance the lives of young people in our city. We need to be bringing that to Elmwood, East Kildonan, and to all part of this ward. I mean, our young people are just left hanging, and it's uncalled for, and it's a shame, and we can't allow this to continue. you know, there's obviously opportunities for business to succeed. I'm not against business. I think that it's something that needs to happen, but I mean, why aren't we working with the current businesses that are on Henderson already? So we can have maybe an initiative, maybe Councillor Steen, you can take it upon yourself to have an initiative like the Henderson Biz and encourage and upkeep and better the businesses that are already on Henderson. I don't want to see money marts on every corner. I want to see banks so our young people can be investing into their futures. I want to see places where we have, you know, the ability as a community, you know, 20, 30 years ago, before my time, 40 years ago, how Henderson used to look. Like it was a community. I'm seeing our little shops shut down and we're losing it to businesses. And, you know, what about the slumlords that call their apartments livable right now with bed bugs infested with mold? Why are we not investing in upkeeping those areas for our young people? So I think that before we move to have a business or an apartment building, another one, and just have nothing for our young people, I think we must first look at having something that could already be there to enhance the future of our city and the future of this area. So that's all I'd like to share with you. And I hope that you take that with you and take it upon yourself as leadership to provide the opportunities that our young people of the city need. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Any questions? Any questions? No? Okay. Valerie Denisuk. Valerie, where are you? Hi, Valerie.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Your name and address.
Thank you. Valerie Denisuk, 200 Martin Avenue West. I back onto Kelvin Community Club, and when I first moved back to Elmwood, I walked straight into the middle of the action that was going on at that time. We may have lost that particular facility, and my heartfelt sorrow goes out to the people around the East Elmwood area that now are suffering through the loss of their community center. The space, however, that we have is still available, we believe, and needed for recreation. We talked about this in January, and in January we, I heard, I believe, clear direction from this body about public consultation and information more on what was needed. I have to say that I don't know whether it was through lack of understanding or whether it potentially could have been, I hope it isn't, that both to this body and through you to the community, it really smacked of a lack of respect in the issue around consultation and public consultation and notification. Mention in a newspaper article is not an invitation to the public as a whole. Effort, Councillor Steen, thank you for the question about where was a sign posted, where people in that area might logically have seen it and been aware. It wasn't there. Yes, there were a number of us who showed up at that meeting, and we showed up because we've been watching this from the inception, from when this was happening, and had our concerns generally. When we did arrive at the meeting, we were very concerned because all we really saw were blown up pictures of some of the same material that had been provided before. There were a couple of more graphic charts that didn't make a lot of sense to us, and we kept saying, well, what's happening with this? Why isn't it there? Are you going to do a presentation? Are you going to tell us more? And there was no presentation. We were told that maybe it was because the drawings were out of scale, or maybe the architect made an error or something like that. After about three quarters of an hour, we did finally get a chart that was more in line with the city's drawings. I still have to say, after seeing that document, I was still concerned about just how close that was coming to the rinks and whether that would allow for maintenance of that area with the cleaning equipment and various things like that. The picture that I gave you also, and as I understand the proposed site, it's about as wide as the cash store site and runs the length there. As you see in the picture, you see about a half a dozen fully matured trees, a real asset to the city. Carbon footprints, having this type of resource is in jeopardy with any kind of development that potentially is running along there, and I would hope that something would be done if there's ever to be anything put there, that that type of greenery and things that support the community, like in our air that we breathe. I saw a great show with David Suzuki the other day where he says you can't look at things as separate and different. We are a part of it. So these are things that we're a part of. And when I asked about the trees and what might help, you know, would they respect the trees and leave them there, I was told, oh, no, the landscape plans really weren't there, and, well, they try to. But, you know, if it was the same amount of effort that was put into notifying the community about the meetings, I don't hold out a lot of hope. In the area here, we believe that this should be recreational. We believe that there are opportunities potentially in the future, and that before we close the door to those potential opportunities, that you should stay open to them. My understanding and the rumor mill says that you got a decent number of dollars for the sale of the old Good Neighbors site. So that should hopefully sort of balance out a cash incentive or a cash desire. One would hope, I understand there are some potential dollars available through some other programs for possibly enhancing some of the park area there. So these are things that are down the road. We never know, both provincially and federally, grants, various other things that might happen. At one time, the Métis Federation had been interested in possibly partnering on some programs. And these are things that the potential is there. But if we close the door on them, we're closing the door on what we might be able to do. The more that we use our green spaces closer to the community to use it, who who will get the greatest benefit from it, I think is what makes this city stronger. Not having to trek halfway across town for some activity or for things that you can't logically get to. So I would really hope that you look carefully also at the report by your own city department that I believe rejects this for a series of reasons, including I believe one of them was failure to provide documentation that's been requested since the day the bid was put in. And these are things that when you look at continual lack of luster, shall we say, that gives me a great deal of concern in how positive this would be, and that as a city would we would be much better served if this retained as recreational space. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Valerie? No. Thanks, Valerie. Had a request by Lillian Thomas. She has somewhere else to go to hear her next. Council, I don't know if it's like the United States, you keep your title, Councilor Thomas.
Thank you.
We're guys, we're Canadian, so anyway, so.
Right.
Yes, welcome back, Lillian.
Thank you.
Congratulations on receiving an award the other night in this facility, I believe.
Yes. Right? Yeah. that was nice.
Congratulations.
Thank you. First, I want to say that this is now parkland. And it, when it goes before City Council, it will require a two-thirds vote because it's acknowledged that this will be a significant change. And it is a significant change in an area that doesn't have a heck of a lot of parkland. It serves two neighborhoods, the Chalmers and Glen Elm neighborhood. Both are low income, but of the 12 neighborhoods that are in the Elmwood East Kildonan area, Chalmers has the lowest income in the ward. It has the highest number of single-parent families. It has the highest number of Aboriginal youth. And it has the highest number of children on a per capita basis. There are over 2,000 children that of the 12,000 people in this area, there are over 2,000 children, the average age of which is 9 years old. Now, right now, the closest community center is now 1.6 kilometers down the road to the north, and some kids, if they live near the Glenwood Crescent or south of the cemetery, they have to walk in excess of 2.5 kilometers. I just did a little bit of driving down Corridon Avenue just today and noted that there were two community centers, Crescent Wood and River Heights, that are 0.8 of a kilometer between them, or exactly half the distance that it is from where the old site was, to which is now just got open recreational space. There's two schools in the area, Glen Elm School and Lord Selkirk School, have very little recreational space on site. It's a community that's very dense, and so they have very little recreational play space, and both of the schools used to use the site for additional programming, either during the day or after school. Now, I'd like to point out that when there was a community center on this site, there were 12 highly visible, well-used programs, and promises were made by the Greater Council of Winnipeg Community Centers to relocate in the community. The chess club is gone. It has not been replaced anywhere. The wrestling club is gone. It has not been replaced anywhere. The Mums Take a Break program is gone. It has not been replaced anywhere. The English as a Second Language program has been taken over by Elmwood Community Resource Center, but it is nowhere near where it was before. The preteen dances are gone. There is no other place in the community where you can have it. The two schools that are in there, like I said, they're smaller schools and they didn't have the capacities. Also that are gone, public washrooms, the snack bar, no longer exist. I'd like to point out that Clara Hughes, our most
awarded gold medal Olympian. This was her home community center. This is where she learned to skate. This is where she learned to bike. This is where she trained to win all those gold medals. Eyes on the community. It was pointed out to me by a former CAO that one needs at least two sight lines in order to keep a recreational space safe. If this is blocked off by commercial on the most visible sight line, the Henderson Highway, the only sight line there is a tiny sight line being offered by Union Avenue, in which there's just four houses on the street, and it's and the Elmwood East Elmwood Community Center shows what can happen when you don't have appropriate sight lines in the community. It's the only community center that never had access to a street. It, the only way that you could get into Elmwood, East Elmwood Community Center was through a black back lane that was blocked on all four sides. And what happens is it became a target for vandalism, and now that center is totally gone. There are two low rental housing programs that are very close to the Kelvin site, and those kids are just not going to be taking a bus up to utilize this area. They just can't afford it. So this is all that's been lost to the community, and the efforts to replace it wasn't there. Now, I have to say that while it's delightful to see commercial space coming into the area, there are alternatives. Just one block to the south, there is an old Petro-Canada site that has been vacant for over 15 years. That would be just a great place to have some sort of multi-use facility. Just two blocks to the north, there is a site that had got buildings in it. There was a fire in there, and now it's an empty lot. That could be available for good recreational use. There are several unoccupied buildings across the street that could be utilized for commercial capacity. There's plenty of opportunity for commercial to be done in the area without turning good, rare parkland space into commercial space. So there's plenty of capacity that exists. And my final argument is that over my objection, but there was a motion that said that the reason that this community center was being put up for sale was the goal was to reach $500,000 and the money would be used for this center. When the old city hall was sold, that goal was reached. So there is no economic reasons to be selling off parklands. And I must say that where you have a community where the income in the Chalmers ward is $24,000 a year, the income in the Glen Elm area is $35,000 a year, that as much as I love and appreciate this center, the average income in this community is $57,000 a year. What kind of fairness is that to take the two lowest ends of the income, saying you sell it off and give it to a higher income area? It wasn't a good move. It wasn't a good move at all. And I love this facility, and I'm proud of this facility, but the strategy of taking the money from the poor and giving it to people who were not wealthy but comfortable was not a fair thing to do. And it's going to be a hard fight down there, Tom. But you need to stand up for this community and let them know that they should not be trodden upon, and that this is fair. and particularly going back to the promises that were made, saying, we'll take care of the kids in the area. You know, the one thing that they did keep was the drop-in center, and they operated it out of Glen Elm School for 3 months, and then they closed it because they said it cost them too much money to rent the space. Now, there were kids that had that space for free. There were promises made that they would keep it, and the only promise that they kept was the drop-in center, and they only kept that promise for 3 months. There has to be some place to go. Obviously, these kids want to learn. There were lots of kids interested in the chess club, the wrestling club. There were English as a second language program, Mom Take a Break program. What happened to all those programs that were staffed by over 100 volunteers? Where did they go? They went nowhere, and that's not fair. That's not fair to this community. So I hope you have some questions for me. I'd be delighted to answer them.
Okay, thank you. Any questions?
Well, I'd just like to thank you for all the correct information, because that was to confirm a lot of things, and I don't really have questions because I hear what you say.
Yeah. I thought it was important to keep to the statistical facts. I'm a statistician by occupation anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Thank you. Councilor Rawati.
Thank you for coming today, Lillian. You mentioned
you're welcome, Jeff.
The drop-in program had moved to the Glen Elm School, and after a number of months, they shut down.
3 months.
That I find I don't know how well it was used. I find that a little disturbing. I mean, it's public infrastructure.
I actually
paid for Glen Elm School.
Yeah.
It'd be great to see a program.
I actually phoned Greater Council of Winnipeg Community Centers. Couldn't get to speak to Marlene directly, but I did speak to her assistant, who that was what she said to me. It was shut down after 3 months because it was too expensive, and that was never stated that they were going to do that. And as far as I know, there was good take-up by the kids.
Okay. Something to look into. Thank you, Lillian.
Yeah.
Lillian, thank you very much. Just a couple questions. If the building's gone now,
right? Yeah.
The site's empty. So if you could wave a magic wand, you kind of said what was there before, but if you could wave a magic wand, what would you want to see?
Oh, I'd like to see a facility like this down there. But there were promises made, actually, that there was going to be, that's why I mentioned the snack bar and the washrooms. That was they said they were going to move something onto the site somewhere, and that was going to happen fairly quickly. That hasn't happened. There's no place for the kids to go, and they were using that. The Manitoba Métis Federation was offering some summer soccer programs out of there, but there were no place for the kids to go to the washroom. There was no place for them to go to get drinks. So after one summer of doing it, they didn't go back there. There is a high Aboriginal community. I believe 46% of the people that go to Lord Sarcourt are of Aboriginal descent. And when I was there in the grade 6 class, there were actually only two kids of the 30 kids there that were not Aboriginal. So in some grades, and you know how vulnerable the 9 to 11 age group is, because there seems to be very few programming that takes into consideration that group. And they really need something in there, and soccer was one of the things that they had good take-up on in the community. I went and saw that program, but there was no place to go to the washroom, no place to get a drink. So they cut it after one summer, and they were willing to do it, but there was nothing brought forward. So it just seemed like another promise not kept.
The other question I have is the land went up for sale, and it sounded like you objected to it when you were on council.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it went up for sale in February of 2009.
Yeah.
Mr. Graywall didn't put an offer in until the summer of 2010, so it was up for sale almost a year and a half. At any point, you know, at the same time, if you recall, there were quite public things going on in terms of the land owned by the post office on Portage Avenue beside Gordon Bell. And the province got involved, and there was a whole movement, and the province came in and purchased the land for a fairly dear price from the from Canada Post to redevelop that site as a park, and we've seen in the paper now with the...
Actually, I've been negotiating with the province with regard to this program that was happening in the area, and they were willing to come in and utilize that site, and they're still willing to put programming and facilities on there. There was not a lot of take up on the other side of the fence for that. So I don't know what happened there and why it wasn't, but the province was certainly interested. Bill Blakey was certainly interested and made it clear that he was interested in doing something, but there was a closed door. Mm-hmm. So
I
don't know who closed the door or why they closed the door, but yeah, there were offers and approaches made.
I asked the real estate department in terms of the site, you know, whether any offer was made on the land from the provincial government, and in that period of time, the year and a half, there was no offer from the province. So do you think there might be a change of minds there, that they would be interested in buying the land for use like they've done with Gordon Bell?
Well, it's interesting that you say that there was no offer. That was not my understanding.
Yeah, they received no informal or formal...
That was not my understanding. Okay. My understanding was approaches were made.
To purchase the land.
The approaches were made, and they weren't well received. So that was my understanding of what occurred there. So I can't speculate on what might happen now.
Right.
But that was my understanding.
Okay. I don't have any other questions. Any other questions? No. Okay. Thanks very much, Lily. Good
Thank
seeing
you very much.
Carlos Souza. You can state your name and address for the record.
Carlos Souza, 101 Riverton Avenue. City councilors, members of the public. It was 2 months ago when I was speaking in opposition to the proposed rezoning of the former Kelvin Community Center. Today, I'm still here in opposition to the proposed rezoning. It was 2 months ago when you told the developer to have a public consultation. The public consultation that was held last week was a gong show with no advertising whatsoever, and an article in the Herald does not cut it. The development is affecting the Glen Elm and Chalmers neighborhoods and not the neighborhood around Bronx. I made a point of contacting the developer myself and offering to assist him in finding a new location, which I recall doing, and plus a number of other community members also did that, but he was very defensive. During the consultation session that was held last week, the developer was asked questions around traffic and safety, which he did not answer. As a resident of the community, I saw no engagement from the developer in wanting to seek the views of the Elmwood residents. It appears to me the developer made no effort to contact the schools in the area, and even Winnipeg School Division, and even the Elmwood Community Resource Center for their point of view on the issue. In past, both schools and even the school division have made their positions quite clear in support of recreational opportunities for the youth of the area. I should point out that this matter was laid over twice in January and in February. The developer had ample opportunity throughout both the months in January and February to hold a public meeting, but he did not until last week. Something smells fishy. I've heard rumors that through the community, through the rumor mill, that the developer may even flip the proposed property. These are rumors I've heard. It does not take that much to organize a meeting, especially the one that he organized, which did not fulfill the purposes of consultation. And it's just another shame to the residents of the Elmwood area and a lack of respect that's been paid to us. I feel that my views have not been accounted for. this show of this gong show and show, game of show and tell must stop. The people of Elmwood want respect and want to be listened to and not ignored. Many residents that I speak to, even my next door neighbors, are not happy with the fact that they have been ignored for years. The residents of Elmwood want to be heard, and it's time that it became that way. Why am I here tonight? I support increased recreational opportunities for the youth of Elmwood. If you go ahead with this rezoning, this would take away the long-term possibility of having anything for the youth of the area. What is really needed for the area is programs for the youth, so they have a safe place to go to so that they can be a part of their community. At this moment, there is no safe place for youth to go where they can feel part of their community. With Youth for Christ moving out of the area, they will have nowhere to go. In the last election, you all talked about providing safe recreational spaces for youth. It's time to show the leadership. It's time to walk your talk. As someone who has volunteered with youth in the community justice area, I've come to the opinion that one of the ways that we can prevent crime in this area is to provide safe options for the youth, especially during the evenings and weekends. Investing in services will save money in the future, especially on crime. Part of a good crime prevention plan is by, again, having things in the neighborhoods for people to do. I should point out that it costs anywhere between $100,000 to $150,000 a year to house somebody in prison. We can divert that money instead and invest in programs for the youth of the area. The decision you make tonight will have a significant impact on the people of Elmwood for years and the youth of the area. But what you need to do tonight is move forward by opposing this redevelopment and keeping this property recreational so that in the long term there can be something there for the youth of the area. I should also say that I am a university graduate and that I'm also a social work student at the U of M. And through my studies, I realized that good crime prevention means that you invest in the grassroots, you invest with the youth, because if you keep the youth off the streets in a safe place, then they will not go out and commit the crimes. I say, let's dedicate something for Clara Hughes right here in Elmwood, or a community hub in her name, right on that property. That would be such a wonderful thing for this area, and a wonderful thing for somebody who's done a good deed to our country and to our area. She is someone that deserves to be honored in the community that she grew up in. Please do the right thing and vote against this rezoning.
Thank you. Any questions, Mr. Souza? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Souza. Yeah,
thank you.
Nelson Sanderson. You can state your name and address for the record, Mr. Sanderson.
Nelson Sanderson, 480 Harbison Avenue.
Thank you.
Okay. Certainly listening to these two speakers has given me a lot of information that I didn't personally know, and I've been in Elmwood 23 years. It's awesome. Listening to the speakers, it's very touching and, of course, emotional for many of us that are sitting back there. And I guess speaking here 2 months ago and speaking here tonight on this issue, I find that somehow Elmwood has been put somehow in the back burner. And no offense to Mr. Steiner, I believe he's trying his best as counselor down here. But I mentioned to counselors, I think it about maybe a month ago, we're not hosting any of these meetings, okay, in Elmwood. This is Kildonan, and the other one that you wanted us to meet in February was deep in Transcona, okay? With all due respect, we want consultation, okay, in Elmwood, Chalmers. We got Chalmers, we got Morris Place, and we got maybe 3 or 4 other places where we can host these, okay? I think it's very important that the people of Elmwood, especially listening to the counselor, okay, ex-counselor, listening to her and putting out these stats, I believe it's very important that our area really should know what is going on, okay? And with all due respect to this area and to Transcona, we have 45,000 people that live in Elmwood, okay? As opposed to around 36 and 32 over a year. Now, we want equal, well, representation as far as when we have you guys over. Let's do it in Elmwood. Let's not do it in Caldona. Let's not do it in Transcona. But let's do it in Chalmers where everybody can come and listen to what is being said here tonight. I think these people have lots to say. And I believe that we would have the people out in droves to listen. You know, my fight is not against these people that really want to purchase a land. My fight is against City Hall. Okay? Let's make that straight from my perspective. I'm not going to tackle these guys and say, well, you know, I'm against business. Nobody's against business. We all want business in Elmwood. Okay? We want stores. We want places. We got vacant lots. Okay? And we want people to come out there. And these people that brought in their presentation, hey, good for them. But listen, we need green space also. Okay, Elmwood is green space, very low on green space. Now they want to take this little block away from us, okay? Whatever area that we have there, and I think the hub issue is a very excellent, you know, Clara Youth, I think she deserves something of significance, such as the young man spoke earlier. And I think that at the end of the day, if we, as people, okay, you guys have children or grandchildren or, you know, a wife and family. You want the best for your family. Now, you know, where it saddens me, like when you listen to stats, like Lord Selkirk having 45% Aboriginal there, and then when we look at the, you know, I was very interested in the stats, you know, like Glen Elm having something like 25,000 annually, and the other area something like 35,000. I mean, this is the working poor. Now they have absolutely nothing. You know, like to really bring their kids out here, their kids over here. Now, when you keep taking things away from these kids that have nothing, they join gangs. They go and break in to the corner store, or else they rob the corner store. And everybody says, oh, my God, Elmwood, it's terrible. But when you take so much away from these kids and you take away from their parents that have nothing, barely anything to start with, I mean, they're renting, and if they bought a very, you know, they have a hard time keeping their home to begin with. Paying taxes, as we all know, is a reality. I've lived in Elmwood for 23 years. I'm fortunate, okay? My kids have gone to further education and have gone to university. I'm blessed that way. But there's a lot of children in Elmwood in the next 5 to 10 years. And if we look ahead in the next 5 or 10 years, Mr. Steen, if we continue the way we are, and in 5 or 10 years, should you still be counselor, and I hope you are. But the thing is, the reality is that at the end of the day, if it continues in this manner, we are going to have a lot of more crime than we already have. People are dying. We have to wake up to that. And certainly, again, with all due respect, I really would like this green space to remain. And at the end of the day, let's have it for Clara Youth or anything that will help the youth, even if it is a coffee shop that sells so that they can go there and play. I thank you very much for your people listening to me. If you've got any questions, I'll answer.
Councilor Bawadi has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Sanderson. Just one real, real quick question.
Okay.
On process, sort of. I just want to know if you're aware that the East Caldona and Transcona Community Committee is the only one of all 5 in the city of Winnipeg that actually meet outside of City Hall. If this was an issue being dealt with in Charleswood, the residents from Charleswood wouldn't get the pick of their local community club. They'd be coming to 510 Main Street and fighting for parking and everything else. Were you aware that we are the only one that still meets in the community?
Well, I guess I was speaking of my community being Elmwood, and certainly, you know, I would like people to come down there.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right.
But thank you anyways. It's decent.
Thanks, Mr. Sanderson. Any other questions? Thank you very much for your presentation.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Ed Innes. Ed, your name and address for the record, please, Ed.
Thank you. Ed Innes, and I live at 236 Poplar Avenue. And actually, my family's been from that area, not this area, for almost 100 years now. My father was born in 1914, and he grew up at 65 Coburg Avenue, which is in the Glen Elm part on the other side of the highway from me. A wise fellow once said that parks should be parks, not retail. In fact, this wise fellow's in this room tonight, and he's rather young, and I won't embarrass him any further, but that's really what the issue is here. We're rezoning a piece of land from park and recreation to commercial. Everyone who pretty much who's against this has been of the opinion that they haven't liked the removal of the community club. And that certainly hasn't been a good decision for the neighborhood, and many people have spoken to that effect. When it comes to the issue that's on the table tonight, should this be park and recreation land or not, we have to start asking ourselves why in an area that was identified as far back as the 1960s as having half the amount of park and recreation land that it should have, by the former Metropolitan Corporation of Greater Winnipeg, are we debating transferring a half-acre parcel of land, which is what the size of this is, over to a non-recreational use? This is somewhat bizarre, quite frankly. This standard is a standard that's been in effect for most of the suburban neighborhoods that are of within the age of the last 50 years or so. Why is this area being discriminated against in this matter? It's somewhat perplexing. Why an area that just happens to be where an Olympic champion had trained? Why that area is an area that's undergoing conversion from the recreational use that led to that Olympic gold medal? Why this isn't being declared a national site is a good question, let alone provincial. And why would on earth would the city not be in favor of this? I mean, it's just perplexing. Most places are proud of their people, proud of their achievers. I think there's someone in front of me who has another achievement of a sports activity as well.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, hey, you're welcome.
Sorry.
You lift that paper quite vigorously.
Go ahead.
No, but This is an issue that really tests the mettle of everyone that's here. This is where we really find what everyone is made of. We find out whether you prefer to have lower crime in the city, whether you want to put your money where your mouth is and make sure there's that recreational space. I've had the unfortunate of witnessing some of the recruiting activity that does occur, rarely, but does occur, where gang members are trying to recruit 8-year-olds and 10-year-olds, and I've chased them away from the lane behind my house. And chasing them away does certainly help. But if you let that go on, you won't just need one police helicopter. You'll need two, you'll need three, you'll need more squad cars, you'll need foot soldiers on the ground. You'll be overrun with a gang problem that some people would argue that the city is overrun with right now. If you really want to put your money where your mouth is, you won't be contributing to furthering that incubation. The actual project itself, there was a meeting. I was late at that meeting. If there had been a notice that I'd noticed, and I certainly can't argue whether I'd read every conceivable paper and that he absolutely did not produce a notice of any kind, but if there had been a notice, I would have been able to have shown up at it on time. The development that's there is somewhat inappropriate for a traditional streetcar neighborhood. James Howard Kunstler, an urban commenter from New York, would describe it on his Eyesore of the Month website as a parking lagoon with a UFO landing pad in the middle. It's a traditional suburban-style development. It's out of scale with the neighborhood, quite frankly. But the issue is, should this be converted to retail? And my answer is no, it should not. We're missing the recreational aspect. We're missing the crime aspect. We're missing the quality of life in the neighborhood. And we're missing honoring our Olympic gold medalist, which is shameful. But parks should be parks, not retail. Who doesn't get to vote here for you people? I mean, you all know it's the people who are under 18. And who is it that we as adults have a responsibility to? It's the people who can't vote, whether they're under 18, whether they're aged, whether they're infirm, whether they're mentally incapacitated. We all have a responsibility to these people. There's adequate retail space for this development in the area. The fact that that space isn't preferred, but the city space is, suggests quite strongly that this land is being sold under value, and it's being sold at fire sale prices. And that, I think, requires the efforts of an auditor to check into. Why this is happening is beyond me. An empty lot sitting there for 15 years, commercially zoned, none of these issues attached to it, is sitting there. And yet, an area that does have certainly strong resident opposition is the area that's preferred. It's undervalued. There's not much to say here. I'm against it. I won't talk about woodsheds, but we do have a responsibility to our youth, and I hope you will make the right decision. At last week's meeting, with one last thing, Councillor Broady, you'd suggested that some of us were in favor of a community club and that it wasn't going to be rebuilt. I want to make it very, very clear this time. It's the rezoning of this land to non-park and recreational use that I'm at least objecting to, and I believe many people in this room are.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Ernest. Is there any questions for Mr. Ernest?
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm good.
Okay. Thanks very much, Ed.
Thank you.
Martin Landy. If you could state your name and address, Mr. Landy.
My name is Martin Landy. I represent the Elmwood Community Resource Center, so the address there is 200 Levi Street.
Okay.
I represent the area association, and I'm here to speak against the application for a zoning variance. I first heard about this variance through an article in the Herald on the 23rd of February. On the 24th of February, I contacted our councillor and the applicant to ask to have the consultations moved to a closer spot for our community. One closer that reduced the barriers of transportation and distance, the barriers that stop working class communities from being involved in city process. When I spoke to the developer at that time, I was told he would not move the meetings because he had spent money on advertisements in the Winnipeg Free Press and in the Herald, as well as take room charges in this building for his consultation. Well, sir, there was no advertisement. An article is not an advertisement. We looked through the community papers for weeks and we found nothing there. This lack of advertising has not helped us understand what the applicant is trying to do and does not provide the community with a sense of trust and respect. What did happen was a hastily organized meeting with incorrect drawings, zoning maps, and errors, artist conceptions with no measurements, no legends, no landscaping plans, no information, no parking study, no traffic study, or any other concerns brought up by the community. What the residents saw were these inaccuracies. We sat down and we waited for a community consultation. When the developer asked us why we were still there, we said we were waiting for the community consultation, and he stated there would be none, just ask me questions. Well, we never got a straight answer to anything. How can we give input onto a project when conceptual drawings and conceptual ideas are being presented and no facts? We have to deal with facts. So I have four questions that I would like to ask. Whether I get answered, I'm not sure. But I want to know is, why do we need to sell recreational land for a commercial enterprise? There are five existing commercial properties available within three blocks, some empty, some that can be renovated. Why not purchase one of them and actually help renovate and revitalize the existing community? My second question is, how can we approve something that we have no drawings, no proper ideas of what's going on, and when there's no commitment from the developer to provide us with this information? What will also stop the developer from flipping the land once it's zoned? Its value will rise greatly once it's a commercial zone. And then my last question is, for what purpose will these funds be used for if the sale is approved, since the $500,000 has been raised already? In closing, the ECRCAA, the residents and interested parties who have participated in this process have clearly stated their opposition for this project, and we have yet to hear, and I mean hear from anybody other than the developer, who is for this project. What I do express is the need for a community plan. Elmwood is at the tipping point. We're losing assets left and right, and we need to have some sort of plan for this community to develop it so we have the needed resources, so we have a community which will meet its destiny to be a safe and enjoyable place to raise a family. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mr. Landon. And the planner has made note of your questions, so we'll either get the applicant and the planner or both when the time comes to address those questions that you've posed. So
thank you very much.
Get them addressed. So thank you. Any other questions, Mr. Landy?
No.
Okay, thank you very much, sir. June McDonald, registered in opposition. Ms. McDonald? June McDonald? No, not here? Okay. Okay. All right. So I'll just have it registered in opposition then. Carl Zadnick? Carl, hi. Would you like to speak?
Yes, just very briefly.
Sure. Come forward, state your name and address for the record.
My name is Carl Zadnick of 254 Martin Avenue West. I am a local Elmwood product, born and raised resident, and I would just like to add, like, personal testimony-wise, it was because of Kelvin, Chalmers, those types of places that I had places to go as a teen. These teen dances that used to be held, I just brought back a memory today when someone mentioned that, and like, those are places to go on the weekends and stuff to do. Youth for Christ used to operate there in the summer, free basketball, you know, free recreation, and that's really what helped me stay focused in my life. So I would just like to add to everyone's comments that were valid and relevant, that I would like to see that place, you know, honored in terms of Clara Hughes and her achievements. So whether it be renamed that in terms of instead of Kelvin Community Center, that'd be a great thing. And, you know, maybe even a skate park. That's something that's probably low cost with infrastructure. Be good for the youth in the area. A lot of youth like to skateboard, and that would be a good alternative for them. So I'd just like to add that, and that would be my two cents.
Thanks, Carl. Any questions for Mr. Zadnick? Any questions?
No.
Thank you very much, sir. Kevin Deck? Would you like to speak?
Yes, I would.
Okay, great. You state your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Kevin Deck, address 221 Martin, catch 221 Martin Avenue West. So thank you, esteemed counselors, for your time this evening, and God bless you all, my friends and neighbors, for coming and showing your support for Elmwood and the Kelvin Community Park. So we know that there's urban sprawl. Look at this facility. It's far, far, far from the center of the heart of where the majority of the young people who use facilities like this are. And it goes continuously. It's a problem rampant in all large, fairly large cities of North America. And so I think that, you know, it's a shame that the community center had been deconstructed, dismantled. So that's one point. And, a much wiser man than myself once said, if you want to keep kids out of heat, you put them on ice. And I'm sure some of you might have heard it's Don Cherry speaking. So it's important that the young people have ice hockey rinks to go to play, to stay healthy. Children nowadays, type 1 diabetes is rampant, and we need sports facilities so that kids can get out there instead of twiddling their thumbs on Twitter with their BBMs, BlackBerry messengers, and it's a waste of their talents. And it's important too that when you have a community center, ice rinks that don't have residential streets for people to see kids playing, like, and then you want to, and if you do allow the zoning to take place and buildings to go up, then people won't see it at all. Let me ask you a question. What makes the heart and soul of the community warmed? Is it driving by and seeing some box office stores? Or when they pass by, hearing the laughter of children playing in the playground, you know, playing with ants in the grass? Or, you know, it's important that if you allow this zoning to take place, you're allowing the whole infrastructure of the young people's sports lives to be put on the top back shelf. And when it's there, it's out of sight. What happens to something when it's out of sight? You forget about it. When you forget about it, it goes to ruin and will be razed. So that's what I have to say. And that's all. So thank you. Any questions?
Thanks, Mr. Deck. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions, Mr. Deck?
No.
No. Thanks very much, Mr. Deck. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Kelly Livingston? Kelly Livingston, do you wish to speak or just register in opposition? Yep, for sure. Then come forward. Stage fright, that's okay.
No, he just doesn't.
No problem. If you could say your name and address for the record.
My name is Kelly Livingstone, and I live at 37 Noble, and I'll just keep it really brief. But I'm a single mother with three children, and I was part of the group of people trying to save Kelvin. I speak on behalf of a lot of families in the area who still use that space, even without a community center. There's kids, if you see, going across Henderson Highway after school almost every day to skate, either on the rink or around the ring. I have a son who's now 13, but I have younger children coming up, and he skateboards. And they used to skateboard around the neighborhood, and as they got older, they wanted to, you know, expand into other places, and I ended up driving them out to East St. Paul or downtown, which is kind of scary, or even to the little Margaret Scott place. And that's where I kind of got the vision of seeing the old Kelvin site turned into maybe a skateboard park, just a nice small one for the community kids. Right now there's a ring of ice around the edge of the land there that the kids are skating on. Something that would be a skateboard park in the summer, could be a skate circle in the winter where the little kids could slide in the middle. There's so many things that can be done with that park that would give the kids a place to go, a very visible place to go, somewhere safe where they can be seen. So that's all I really wanted to say.
Thank you very much, Ms. Livingstone. Before you go, there's a question. Councilor Bawadi has a question.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Livingstone. Like one of the former presenters mentioned, I think you're really on to something there with the idea of a skateboard park. I think it's a good use of somewhere on that Kelvin site, absolutely. Just a question, though. You mentioned you have a son who's 13 years old now.
Yep.
When he was between 5 years old and 10 years old, approximately how many times a month was he at, was he using the Kelvin building?
We were, my son was involved in soccer for 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
My daughter was involved in 1 year before it became, I wasn't aware.
And that was Kelvin organized soccer?
Yes.
Okay.
I wasn't aware of financial aid funding at the time, and nobody had told me about it, so I ended up, you know, because it's two kids and being a single parent, it gets a little expensive to keep your children, and to even something as cheap as soccer isn't always affordable.
Okay.
You know, so, yeah, it was mostly for us, it was soccer. But I mean, another thing was that I wasn't aware that that there was a threat of it closing either.
Right.
And I don't think that most people were aware of that, even the people who were using it.
Were you using any activities inside the building?
Not at the time.
Okay.
I was involved afterwards, working there to try and save it.
Yeah.
Because as soon as I found out that there was a chance that it would, or that it was, you know, that we had a, I don't know if we had a chance to save it or what it was, if there was a chance to save it, I had to be involved. You know what? It's not just my kids. I've been in that neighborhood for almost 20 years now. And it's not just my kids. It's my friends across the street who just are having babies. You know, those kids, you got another 10, 15 years, you know, of these children that I'm seeing now, and then they're going to have kids. There's families in there. There's families in our area who live there as children who are now having their children in this area.
Cool.
And we want them to have opportunities as well. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
No.
Thanks, Ms. Livingstone. Thank you.
If we take a 5-minute break.
Sure.
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we're just going to take a 3-minute break. You have the privilege of being able to go out, but we don't, so. So I hope you understand. Thank you.